This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. 9:17 a.m. Tuesday, the 21st of... I nearly said the 21st of March. It's the 21st of April. I'm about a month behind. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be taking a look at the upcoming one-day parliamentary sitting with Lim Wee Jet, constitutional lawyer. But right now, we're taking a look at the subject of Ramadan bazaars. Because this year, the fasting month of Ramadan will take place without one of its most quintessential elements, the Pasar Ramadan.
Yeah, I guess everybody looks forward to these Ramadan bazaars, right? So last week, our senior minister, Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, announced that any form of Ramadan bazaars during the MCO period is prohibited. Now, this includes e-bazaars that were being discussed with the Federal Territory Ministry and DBKL as a possible option for hawkers and petty traders. And it was reported that the National Security Council nixed the plan due to concerns that pickups from bazaars will create a lot of traffic and, of course, health hazards.
There has been a lot of mixed messaging, though. While on one hand, e-bazaars are banned, as stated by Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri, on the other hand, food deliveries in general are still permissible. So technically, food traders can still sell their wares online, but without some form of centralisation. I mean, another grey area is also the fact that the Selangor State Government says it's continuing with its own plans to facilitate hawkers during Ramadan through the e-commerce platforms, despite the ban announced by the federal government. So if we, the customers, are consumed by all these... are confused by all these changing directives, what more so the petty traders who rely on these Ramadan bazaars for their livelihoods. So to better understand what's at stake for small businesses that participate in the Ramadan bazaars, we spoke to Mohammad Zamri Mohammed, the Secretary General of the Federation of Malay Hawkers and Petty Traders Association of Malaysia. Note that our conversation with him was in Malay, so we'll also recount the gist of his comments in English. Now, we wanted to get an idea of how dependent small traders were on the annual Ramadan bazaar. Zamri explained that small-time food traders could earn between 5,000 to 10,000 ringgit in the fasting month alone. Here's what he said.
Kita lihat setiap penjaja yang berurusan dalam bazar Ramadan ini sebenarnya ada dua kategori lah. Satu iaitu bazar iftar yang mengurus perniagaan berkaitan dengan juadah buka puasa. Kebiasaannya peniaga akan dapat antara 5 ke 10 ribu lah bersih untuk satu bulan. Tetapi kalau makanan you tu istimewa beratur panjang tu, you boleh dapat sampai 50 ribu sebulan. Jadi bulan puasa ini merupakan satu lubuk untuk mendapat pendapatan yang lumayan bagi penjaja. Sebab itulah ada orang kata peniaga sebulan pun boleh makan untuk setahun.
He also did some back-of-the-envelope calculations on the potential income loss, assuming there are an estimated 100,000 small-time traders in business during Ramadan.
Jadi di Kuala Lumpur sendiri, kita tengok yang berdaftar secara resminya sebanyak 5,000 orang. Tapi secara tak resmi itu, saya rasa dah ada 10,000. Begitu juga di Selangor, dah ada 17,000 lebih. Dan satu Malaysia, saya rasa kesuruhannya sebanyak 100,000 orang yang terlibat dengan perniagaan bazar Ramadan. Jadi satu kerugian kepada pejaja kalau kita andaikan setiap pejaja mampu mendapat 5,000 aja sebulan, bererti kekurangan pendapatan kepada pejaja ni dah mencecah 500 juta. Maknanya setengah bilion dah tu pendapatan pejaja yang hilang.
So from what we understand, although e-bazaars are banned, Zamri says traders are still preparing to sell their wares online through various state initiatives.
Yeah, begitulah. Walaupun beberapa negeri awal-awal lagi seperti Negeri Sembilan telah membuat pembatalan awal, tapi ada beberapa negeri yang akan meneruskan. Contohnya Terengganu melalui Ganu Shop, kemudian Kelantan menggunakan order makan, kemudian Selangor menggunakan Grab. Penang pun ada juga menggunakan e-hailing ni. Tapi itu Selangor. Selangor akan tetap mengadakan central kitchen seperti mana yang diracan awal bagi memudahkan syarikat pengendali makanan untuk ambil di satu tempat dan hantar kepada pelanggan-pelanggan mereka. Tapi wilayah tu kita tak dapat lah. Tapi Selangor akan teruskan.
Zamri also spoke to us about how petty traders are fully aware of the need to innovate and turn to online platforms to generate income, and many were in fact doing so.
Ini sebenarnya bagi saya satu peluang kepada penjaja-penjaja yang sebelum ni ni memang tak terfikir pun nak buat benda-benda ni, tapi sebab dia kan oleh masalah PKP ni nak tak nak dia orang terpaksa lah mencari sanak saudara anak-anak yang boleh membantulah dalam IT ni. Malu aja lah yang menaga kuih ni banyak-banyaknya tradisional yang mana tak berapa celik komputer. Jadi kita dapati walaupun mereka ni tak tahu tapi mereka sanggup untuk mencuba. Dan ini sepatutnya kerajaan galakkanlah kepada mereka ni, tak perlulah banyak-banyak syarat. Memang untuk keselamatan, kesihatan sebagainya perlu. Tapi untuk bagi peluang pada dalam negara ni, syarat itu patut dilonggarkan untuk sementara.
I think in the early days of the movement control order, we were already starting to see some reports of farmers or small satay sellers hawking their wares through platforms like Twitter. Right. So I think that's
even Instagram.
Yes. Instagram's become quite the hotbed of small business selling, actually. And that just underscores really his point. You know, a lot of these businesses without this movement control order in place, they probably never would have taken the leap to learn a new digital platform, because for a lot of people who are not used to the internet, not used to IT, it's a bit of a daunting leap to suddenly basically revamp your entire business to center around a social media platform, right, for example.
Yeah.
But now they have no choice. So necessity, the mother of invention.
But it's very encouraging that everybody's kind of just joined the bandwagon, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think in initial days of the MCO, when it came to food, let's say groceries or farmers, right, everyone was like, oh no, what are we going to do? And then within 2 weeks, right, people started having, joining social media, and people started having websites. And they, over time, and now we're in our fifth week of the MCO, right? 36th day, 35th
day. Day 35.
Day 35. I noticed these same websites that I visited get more and more and more sophisticated. And, you know, maybe, yes, it is tough times for all these Ramadan sellers out there because, yeah, they do make a significant amount of money. Imagine some of them make 50,000 during this period. So, I mean, for them to forsake that income must be very painful. And we're mm-hmm. really talking about the makcik kiosks out there, right? I mean, for them, this is when they have the chance to actually make that extra bit of money for the whole year.
Yeah, Zamri used a phrase earlier on, berniaga sebulan makan setahun, right? So that really goes to show how important this month of sales is to these small traders whose revenue is not, you know, it's not in the multi millions. It can sometimes just be half a million, 500,000. So you imagine the proportion of that which comes from the Ramadan month. So, you know, in the transition from brick and mortar stalls to online, we asked Zamri what kind of support the traders are receiving in order to transition from traditional to online e-commerce?
Yes, kerajaan-kerajaan negeri yang mengusahakan, contohnya kita ambil wilayah itulah, perancangan tu sehinggakan RM500 yang saya katakan diperuntukkan pada setiap jaja untuk menampung perbelanjaan ataupun kos e-hailing tadi. Dan begitu juga Selangor menyediakan tempat-tempat untuk buat central kitchen tu kan, dengan pengawalan dan tentu sekali melibatkan belanja yang tinggi, dan sebahagian daripada kos Grab tu pun diorang tanggung. Jadi itu satu kemudahan yang secara tak langsung diberi kepada penjaja yang cuba nak berubah daripada tradisional kepada online.
But Zamri also reminded us about the segment of petty traders who are left out of the system.
Penjaja ni kadang-kadang tu kita kena dapati dianya merupakan satu bidang informal yang kadang-kadang tidak mempunyai lesen yang proper, maka dia tercicir daripada bantuan-bantuan pakej rangsangan. Jadi saya perlu tekankan juga di sini, sepatutnya kerajaan tu tolonglah tengok kepada penjaja yang di sektor informal ni yang tidaklah ada lesen, yang tak dapat apa-apa sehingga hari ini. Dah sebulan pun kita dalam bawah PKP. Sebabnya penjaja ni boleh kata hidup dianya makan pagi, kais pagi, makan petang, kais petang.
And that was Mohamed Zamri Mohamed, Secretary General of the Federation of Malay Hawkers and Petty Traders Association of Malaysia, giving us some insight into the lives of these traders and hawkers and the kind of business they see during the Ramadan month, which now is somewhat in jeopardy considering the latest announcements by the government. But, you know, as he illustrated, not all states are going to seem to be following in the federal in the footsteps of this federal ban. So Terengganu was one of them. Kelantan is another. Selangor as well. So perhaps there is some avenue still remaining for these traders to make their money. And, you know, all else failing, I guess they still can turn to social media, provided, of course, they aren't one of those that, as he mentioned, falls through the cracks.
Yeah, but there are, of course, some practical issues or considerations out there, one of which is the logistics. I mean, if you're doing, you're selling your wares online, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, can logistic partners cope? Also consider the fact that the schedule of fasting is from dawn and dusk, right? So will anybody be delivering? Because during the MCO, there's not supposed to be any movement unless it's 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., right? And so does that work? I guess you have to plan a bit better and buy your food the night before, or, you know, buy the day before and keep it in the fridge, things like that. I think, of course, there's also questions about hygiene and cleanliness. And even my colleagues are like, you know, how do I know which one to order online? I told them, I said, you just try. And if it's not good, don't order again.
Exactly.
It's not unlike how you would shop in a Ramadan bazaar, right? After a while, there's word of mouth. And people will come back and post on Facebook, oh, this is the best, or this is lousy. And, you know, you find out what's good and what's not good.
Reviews are always the best. Now, we have also been running a poll asking you whether you would purchase Ramadan bazaar food online. Had 283 votes. Nearly 50% of them said yes, they would purchase Ramadan bazaar food online. 30% said no, 21% said not sure. I think some of the concerns of that that spurred the no votes were hygiene, as well as increases in price, which they worried could be incurred because of the delivery costs.
Yeah, but, you know, bear in mind, a lot of these people affected are our makcik kias. And yes, they got a handout, but we also need to think about helping them make some real income in the longer term.
All right, and right now we're heading into the 9:30 news bulletin. Don't go away. After that, we're taking a look at the upcoming one-day parliamentary sitting with comments from Lim Wei Jiat, constitutional lawyer. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.